American people are waiting. Have you a statement?
1230 The Voice is WXCO Warsaw.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret, and today we conclude our verse-by-verse study in the book of Revelation. We've been at it for 14 weeks, and today we come to Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. And we turned the corner last week in this book because there was an awful lot of bad, awful lot of darkness, so to speak, in this book. Prior to last week, we saw God's judgment in the final days, what it will be like. Terrible judgment on this world right before the return of Jesus Christ. And then we saw the return of Christ, too, and we saw Judgment Day and how that demons and Satan and sinners who refuse to repent are thrown into hell. So there were some very unpleasant things, nevertheless, true things, things that will definitely happen, and God wants us to know that ahead of time so that if we're not prepared, we can prepare. But last week we turned the corner and we saw the new heavens and the new earth after the old earth was destroyed at the Lord's return. He created a new heaven and a new earth, and we continue looking at that today. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things we began looking at last week was a city. And I would call it the capital city of the new earth. And it is the capital city because it is where the king lives, the ruler, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a remarkable city it will be. 1,400 miles long, wide, and high. Yeah, that's right. It's a cube. Don't ask me how God's going to pull that off, but he is. And he described it last week. And we had a detailed look at it, actually. And it was really something to behold. And it will be when we see it with our own eyes. And today we're going to continue looking for a little while at this capital city of the world called the New Jerusalem. Let's begin in verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And so, in this new city, this capital city, there's going to be a crystal clear river flowing right from the throne of God. And it's going to flow down Main Street. And, you know, I'm gonna look for that river in this new city because I believe it'll really be there. I take this literally. But just because it's literal doesn't mean there isn't symbolic value to it. And there is. We must not overlook that. In the Bible, water, especially living water, flowing water, often represents the Word of God. And this river represents the Word of God here. This river is symbolic of God's Word and of the eternal life that comes to those who believe it and respond to it by receiving Christ as Lord and Savior. And this is important. The Word of God, the river of God, needs to flow from God and touch people today. The Bible teaches that people are saved through the Word of God. That's how it happens. You don't have to be reading the Bible, but the Word of God in some form has to be communicated to a person if that person is going to respond to Christ and be saved. The Bible teaches that people are saved through the Word of God as it is proclaimed. So every time I proclaim the Bible, or anyone else reads or teaches the Scripture, that river of God, clear as crystal, begins to flow, and good things happen to those that it touches and to those who respond to it correctly. Verse 2, it says, down the middle of the great street of the city. It's talking about that's where the river goes. And it says, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. Do you know that you'll be able to eat in your resurrected body? I don't know what our menu will consist of entirely, but I do know that it will include fresh fruit, and I am sure it will be better than any fruit that we have ever tasted in this life. But did you notice how there are fruit trees that grow on both sides of this crystal clear river? Fruit trees on both sides. And a great variety of fruit, too, because they produce a different type of fruit every single month. And these trees are called the tree of life. Now, if that sounds familiar to you, it should, because there was a tree of life back in the Garden of Eden. And don't get that mixed up with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There were two special trees back in the Garden of Eden. There was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was that tree of testing, where God said you can eat from any other tree, but you can't eat the fruit off of that tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, because that's a test. That was a test of their obedience, see if they would obey God or sin. They needed to have a test in order to exercise their free will. So that was the forbidden fruit. But then there was the tree of life too, which when Adam and Eve and their offspring would eat from it, they would continue to live forever. So that was back in the Garden of Eden. But you know, after Adam and Eve sinned, God would not let them eat from that tree of life anymore. And that's because, as I said, the fruit of that tree was designed to keep a person from dying. But here's the deal. God had warned man, if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that is sin, and you will die. Well, they disobeyed. They committed sin. And because of that, they had to eventually die. And therefore, they could not eat from the fruit of the knowledge or of the fruit of the tree of life any longer. But you see, on the new earth, that tree will once again appear. And it won't be an issue for us. When we are raised and we are on the new earth, we won't have to die. We've already died once. You can only die once. The Bible says it is appointed unto man to once die. And so, having taken care of that death previously, and because Jesus died to pay for our sins, we'll be able to enjoy that special fruit and just keep on living forever. So that's why it's there. It says let's go back and read verse 2 again. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And I don't know exactly what that means. The leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations, the healing of the people that are on the new earth. I don't understand how that's going to fit, since there won't be any sickness and won't be any disease and won't be any death. And maybe that's the point. If nothing else, this is God's way of saying that we will always be healthy. Not even a sniffle. No pain of any kind. We're going to live forever. And we'll always be healthy. You know, it wouldn't be much fun living forever if we weren't healthy all the time, would it? I know people, several people, who were ready to die because they just didn't feel good anymore. Not much fun living if you don't feel good, if you're always in pain or you can't do what you used to do. So life is no fun when that's the case. And since God wants us to have fun forever, we're going to be completely healthy, completely pain-free forever and ever. Verse 3. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. No longer any curse. You know that all the troubles in this world are caused by sin? It's true. Bad weather, sickness, disease, frustration, trouble in relationships, and so forth can all be traced back to sin. It could be our sin, it could be someone else's sin, or perhaps just the sin principle that has been here since Adam and Eve fell. But sin is the thing that has cursed this world and brought pain, misery, sadness, and death. But that curse is going to be gone on the new earth. Trouble will be a distant memory. God is going to remove all sin and all effects of sin, and none of it will ever return. Verse 4. Talking about the servants of God, they will see his face, and his name will be in their foreheads. God's name will be in our foreheads. And that symbolizes the fact that we are servants of God. Back in the old days, in Bible days, if you were a runaway slave, they would burn the letters F-U-G on that slave's forehead, indicating that it had been a fugitive slave, but now he belongs to his master. He's back where he needed to be. We will have the name of God on our foreheads. I don't take that literally. I think we miss the symbolism if we take that literally. It symbolizes the fact that we belong to God forever. It also symbolizes that we will all reflect the image of God in our attitude and our behavior. We'll be totally submitted to him, and it'll be a joyous submission. We're all going to be good people all the time. And because of that, we'll be able to enjoy God like never before. Verse 5. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. It'll never be dark, at least never be dark in the New Jerusalem, in that one city. And think about light. God is our light in the New Jerusalem, the Bible says. Great symbolism there, too. Think about light. Light is essential for many reasons. For starters, it reveals the world that we live in, and therefore enhances our ability to enjoy things. Try enjoying this world if everything is pitch black. No, you need light to really enjoy your surroundings. Light also helps us to know what to do, which way to go. And the Bible says that God will be our light in eternity. In other words, his presence, like today, will make our enjoyment of our surroundings possible. He is going to be what makes heaven, heaven. And as far as making right decisions, well, we're never going to make a foolish or wrong decision anymore, because God will be our guide, and we will follow. Verse 6, the angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place." God reassures us that these words are faithful and true. The words in Holy Scripture are all true because they are the words of God, not the words of man. Oh yes, I know, John the Apostle wrote the book of Revelation, but he didn't give us this book. He wrote it, but he didn't author it. It came from God. God is the author of the entire Bible. The human writers, in this case John, were just stenographers. 7. Behold, I'm coming soon, Jesus said. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Blessed, in other words, blessed are those who obey God's word. Blessed are those who obey God's word. Not just read it, not just understand it, but obey it. Especially the book of Revelation, because that's what this promise is for. Blessed is he who keeps the words of this prophecy. In other words, the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation teaches us, if nothing else, that it is very smart to be on God's side, and you are blessed if you follow that rule. beyond God's sight. It may not always be easy, but it's always smart. And over again in the book of Revelation, we are reminded that we're going to be better off in the end if we continue on with Christ. Verse 8. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and of all who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Now remember, there was a special holy angel that had been giving John the tour of heaven and shown him all these visions that relate to the end times. Well, John has seen so much. He's just overwhelmed. And he bows down to this angel. And the angel says, don't you do that. Don't ever bow down to me. You worship God. Never, ever bow before an angel or a human. Never. Let me tell you something. This angel was a servant of God. And that's it. A holy angel? Yes. A powerful angel? Absolutely. But just a servant of God. Anything that this angel ever got that was good, anything, any qualities that this angel ever had, he received from God. And that is why no human being, no angel deserves any kind of spiritual devotion at all. This is the clear teaching of Scripture. They don't deserve it, no matter how good they are. They don't deserve it, no matter how devoted to God they are. They don't deserve it. And I'll tell you something, if they are truly devoted to God, they don't want it, and they don't ask for it, and they certainly don't expect it. So notice how this holy angel was just appalled that the Apostle John would bow before him. Verse 10. Then he told me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. And this is a command to believe the essential message of this book and live in light of it. And the essential message is this: get right with Jesus and persevere with Jesus, because God is going to make it worth your while. Don't seal up that message. Good Christians can disagree about how all the details of the end times will work out, and they do. There are honest disagreements between Christians who love the Lord and really believe the Word of God. They just don't understand how things are going to work out in the end, the little details. They don't understand that. And there's differences of opinion, and that's okay. But always remember this, and that's that the convictions that we may have about the uncertain things should never overshadow the importance of the essential message. And again, that essential message of the book of Revelation is get right with Jesus and persevere with Jesus, because God will make it worth your while. Verse 11. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy. And the point is this: God has spoken the truth, and he's not going to change his mind. He has nothing more to say than what he has said in his holy word. It is the way it is, and people should understand that. Do life God's way or suffer. Repent, receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or be damned. Now is the time to choose. But the point of this verse is this: there's a time coming when it's going to be too late to choose and too late to change. That's when this verse is going to come to pass. The evil person will be locked into their evil. The guilty person will be locked into their guilt. And the righteous person will be locked into their righteousness. Death and eternity doesn't change anything. It just makes permanent the choices that we have made in this life. Verse 12. Behold, Jesus says, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Jesus is going to give to everyone according to what he has done. Not just believed, but done. Well, I believe you're saved by faith. The Bible teaches that over and over again. And so I would say repent. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him to save you from hell. Ask him to be your Lord and Savior. And if you do, well, then good works are going to follow. They must follow. Good works always follow true saving faith. Good works are not done to be saved. They are done as a result of being saved. You see, the faith that saves us also changes us. The faith that gives us forgiveness and heaven also gives us a desire to live right. That's how Christ is able to say here, I'll give to everyone according to what they have done. Not that they're saved by their works, but that their works reflect the fact that they have saving faith. Verse 13. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. In other words, Jesus is eternal. The Son of God is just as eternal as God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Now, God the Son was not always a human being. He became man when he was conceived in his mother Mary. Didn't mean he didn't exist before that. He did, but never as a man. At that point, God the Son became the Son of God incarnate in a human body. And so he always has been, and he always will be. He'll be here forever and ever. So get used to Jesus, because he's not going to change and he's not going anywhere. Verse 14, blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Clean robes in the book of Revelation speaks of salvation, speaks of being right with God, and it also speaks of the righteous acts of the saints. But notice what he says here, blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. In other words, God is saying, blessed are those who have enough sense to repent and invite Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. They're the only ones who will get through the gates. They're the only ones who will be able to eat from the tree of life. In other words, they're the only ones who will be saved. Those who have washed their robes, so to speak. They're wearing clean garments before the king. Their sins are washed away because they have received Christ as Lord and Savior. They'll go through the gates of heaven because they know Christ. By the way, St. Peter doesn't have anything to do with the gates of heaven. I don't know where that came from. Maybe a Disney movie or something like that. But it doesn't have anything to do with Scripture. Peter does not decide who gets in. Jesus does. Those who have Christ get in. Those who do not have Christ do not get in. Jesus said, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Verse 15. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. In other words, they're not getting in. Who's this talking about? It's talking about people who love sin too much to repent and ask Christ to be their Lord and Savior. They're not getting in. They're not getting to heaven. If you love your sin too much to repent, too much to ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you're not getting in. That's what he's saying here. Those who love their sin more than they fear hell will go to hell. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. The morning star is a real star. Did you know that? Actually, it's a planet, Venus, which often appears shortly before sunrise. And as Jesus says here, it's very bright. In fact, Venus is the brightest object in the night sky next to the moon. And we know this, when the morning star appears, we know that the night is just about over and a new day is about to begin. Well, here Jesus refers to himself as the morning star. Jesus will appear right before the end of the old world. He's going to return and he's going to bring in a brand new world, a much nicer day. Verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whosoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. And that's talking about salvation. In other words, this is just a wonderful invitation to anyone. If you want salvation, come to God through Jesus Christ and receive it. It's that simple. But you must come on his terms. That means repent. It also means ask Christ to take over your life and save you from hell. The offer is to anyone who wants it. Anyone. God does not hold a grudge against anyone. No matter how many sins they have committed in the past, God wants to forgive. 18, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. And what is true for this book of Revelation is true for the entire Bible. Don't change it in any way, says God. Do not distort its message for any reason. And something else. No human interpretation, whether it involves the rapture of the church or anything else, no human interpretation should be elevated and given the same authority as Scripture itself. And something else. Christians who glibly say stuff like, God told me or God spoke to me, followed by some supposed revelation from God, you know what they're doing? They are speaking the imaginations of their own mind, and they are adding to the Word of God. God says, don't do that. You know that God's Word is fine just the way it is? Everything that God wants us to know about how to be saved, how to live right, is found in the Holy Bible. 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17. When someone adds to or takes away from the written Word of God, they are corrupting something that is perfect. They are corrupting something that is holy. And God says they're going to be punished. Very serious. 20. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I'm coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Jesus' final message is that he's going to return, not necessarily soon, but quickly. No one knows the day or the hour, but when he returns, it's going to happen quickly. And for many, it's going to be unexpected. His return is going to be good news for those who belong to him, bad news for those who reject him. One will enter into the complete joy of their salvation at the return of Christ. The others will enter into eternal suffering in hell. Questions, comments, you can write me. Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Or you can email me at vbyvmm@aol.com. That's vbyvmm@aol.com. Or you can call 715-845-8298. That's 715-845-8298. If you're looking to study the Word of God further, go to the Scripture Verse by Verse website and study the entire Bible online for free using my audio Bible commentaries. That web address, meurett.org. That's meurett.org. Again, meurett.org. And if you're looking for a place to worship, come and join us Sunday mornings. We meet at 10 o'clock Island Place, which is right next to Oak Island here in Wausau. 10 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. It's a simple service. You get the Word of God verse by verse. I'm with you every Sunday morning, right here on 1230 WXCO, 1230 The Voice. See you next Sunday at 8 o'clock. So long, everyone.
service of Sunrise Broadcasting.
Transmitted immediately.
1230 The Voice is WXCO Wausau.